Today's share in the Dershu Mishneh Berurah Yomi program is Daf Kuf Ayin Beis Omud Aleph. We're in the third volume of Mishneh Berurah, and Amir Tzashem, we're going to finish up Simen Shin Lamed today, which deals today with the halachos of the premature child, as well as some regular newborn care issues for Shabbos. We have one last Mishneh Berurah to finish up from yesterday's share, so we'll begin with Mishneh Berurah Sivkatan Lamed. Yesterday we were talking about the child that was born from either a 7th or 8th month pregnancy. We weren't sure. And as I did point out at the end of this year, today, medically, we are much more advanced than in the times of the Shulchan Aruch and certainly in the times of the Gemara. So many of the items that are described over here that you can't do on Shabbos, we brought down yesterday. Very important, Dershu footnote number 30 to reiterate it. Shebizmanenu sheyodim lahachios gamas mishenolad b'chodesh hachamishi or shishi. Nowadays, our technology is, Baruch Hashem, advanced so much that we can take care of children born in the 5th or 6th month of pregnancy, as I mentioned, from 23, 24, 25 weeks. There's a potential chance for survival. Therefore, we are allowed to do everything needed to go and save these children if they're born prematurely on Shabbos. So everything must be kept in that backdrop when we discuss the halachos over here in Shulchan Aruch. Therefore, Sif Katan Lama, the Mishneh Berurah says, they were talking in this situation, Koi Gam Aben Shmona, on a child that was born in the 8th month, like the Mechaber says, Kedisa B'Beis Yosef, as the Mechaber himself brings down in his Beis Yosef commentary. And the reasoning is, Vatam, Tamrinashu Ben Shiva, V'Ishtahu Yehu, the Ishtai, because we're talking there that it was Mistama, a viable 7-month pregnancy child that somehow was delayed in coming out to the 8th month, and that's why we were allowed to go and do certain things. The Mishneh Berurah, however, then brings down Ayin Debiri Hagra, Shinishar Bidin HaShulchan Aruch B'Tzorchiyan. He questions this more lenient opinion that the Mechaber had, and the Vilna Gaon's opinion was, in those days, based upon their medicine, Daito de la'inyin chilu Shabbos lo samchinin agarmu l'chud. You can't rely upon the fact that the child has hair and nails, and therefore Mastama is a viable child, really born in the 7th month and not a non-viable 8-month baby like we discussed yesterday. The Vilna Gaon says you need also to have the child survive 30 days before you can do things. Just in terms of moving the child, you'd be allowed to rely upon the more lenient opinion of the Shulchan Aruch, but not to be Mechal Shabbos. Again, as I must point out over and over again, this is not the Halacha L'maisa today because of our advanced technology that we can save such babies with relative ease, and therefore one is mechuyev and obligated to do everything possible to save these children when they're born prematurely, based upon their current viability. Nebuch, if a child is born where even our current medical abilities do not stand a chance to have that child survive, then these dinim apply in this situation as well. Sivches, the Mechaber writes, no lad l'shmona, a child born after an 8-month pregnancy, which is not considered viable in the times of the Gemara, o sofek ben shiva o ben shmona, or it's a question whether it's a viable 7-month pregnancy. Paradoxically, 7-month is viable, as we said, and 8-month is not. Shelo gomru sa'aru v'tziparnam, and it doesn't have any physical signs of maturity, so therefore we have to presume that this child is not viable. Therefore, osu l'tatlo, you're not allowed to move such a child. Technically, nebuch, this child is muktzah. However, the Mechaber tells us, Aval imo shocha alav, the mother is allowed to go and bend herself over the baby, umenikaso, and nurse this child. Why? For the benefit of the mother. Because of the pain that she has in her mammary glands that are causing her discomfort. Mishneh Berurah explains in Sivkatan Lamed Aleph, V'achronim hiskimu, the dafo kishiyadua shu ben shmona. This is only if you know for a fact that the child's not viable. How would you possibly know that it was definitely an 8-month pregnancy? So the Mishneh Berurah tells us, for example, kigon sheboal uperash. The husband had relations with her and then the husband went away. And that was the only time that the woman could have gotten pregnant. Therefore, it's considered over here a non-viable baby. But if there is any chance that it is not truly an 8-month non-viable baby, but in fact would be a viable 7-month child, so then the halacha is you can certainly move the child. The issue footnote number 31 brings down Mash Asu L'Taltel Tinok Ben Shmon Chadashim. The reason why it's considered Moksa over here is an 8-month non-viable baby, again, in those times. So Shlomo Zalman Zatzal brings down in the Nishma Savram, Shemedubar betinok sheshochev lotnua v'inobochaklav. We're talking here about a lifeless child. It may physically still be considered alive, but it's not moving and it's not really crying, and nebuch, the child is not viable. However, if the child is moving, even in those days, or if the child is crying, then you would be allowed to go and move the child. Mechaber continues in terms of the mother expressing the breast milk from herself because she's in pain. Likewise, if the baby is not able to suckle from her, so then she would be allowed to express the milk herself from her own body, with her own hands. She could express the milk that's bothering her in this fashion by squeezing with her hands. The Mishnah Berurah explains in Sifkat Lamed Beis, Ala Oretz, she obviously has to go and have the milk go out onto the ground. She can't put the milk into a utensil, because when she puts it on the ground, this is not the issue of being mefarik. Over here, that's why you're not allowed to milk an animal, kiven shaholech liba, because the milk over here is going to waste and it's going onto the ground, and therefore it's not being saved, and therefore it's not an issa deraisa. And because of the pain that she's suffering, one can do this. Furthermore, the Mishnah Berurah says, V'yod, Dahavi melacha shena tzrich l'gufa, the potter. And likewise, it's not an issa deraisa because you have no use for this milk over here, and therefore it's not an issa deraisa. U'mishum tzara lo gozrim, because she's in pain, the rabbis were not gozer in this situation that she can't do this, kamo mefis mursa, just like we allow you to go and express an abscess or a pimple over here because you have no interest in what's being expressed, you just have an interest in relieving the pressure and the pain. The issue footnote number 32 brings down, likewise, a nursing mother who has excess milk that the baby's not taking, and the excess milk is bothering her, so the Chazon Ish, Zatzal, brings down, Shemutu lo lohotzi b'mash'eva. She would be allowed to go and take some sort of a suction cup, not an electronic one, but do this in a permissible way, expressing the milk into this suction device. However, she has to make sure that she puts some sort of a chemical or some sort of an agent inside this container so that any milk that's expressed into it will be destroyed upon contact and not be potable, i.e. the milk will not be drinkable in any way. It's already ruined as soon as it goes in there. If she doesn't have such a chemical or ingredient available, so the Chelus Achuvus Avni Neza brings down that she can express a little bit of the milk, then pour it out from the container, then express a little bit more and pour it out from the container, and never gather a large amount into the container. And Shlomo Zalman Zatzal says, Shahainu Shalo Yitztaber Cholov Kigrogros. You shouldn't take a grogros, a dried fig's worth of milk at one time. If indeed she were to express it into a kli, so the Shevet Alevi Zatzal says that nowadays that this is a commonplace thing, this would actually be an Issa Daraisa for her to do so. Sif test, the Mechaber writes, Miyashrin Evore Havlad Shinisparku Machmas Tzar Haleda. One will be allowed to straighten out the limbs of a baby that was born that became the limbs somewhat out of place, disconnected, dislocated during the travails of labor. The Mishnah Berurah explains in Sivkot Lamed Gimel that when you're straightening this out, it means with your hands, biyodayim. Sivkot and Lamed Dalet, you're allowed to do this because of the pain and the travails of the labor. So he brings down for the Mogen Avram, Kosovo Mogen Avram, V'dafka b'yom haleda. This is only permitted, according to this Machmir opinion, only on the day of childbirth. Avol achar kach also, but beyond that period of time, if you didn't straighten out these limbs, it would be forbidden. This would be a problem of bone, of fixing over here. However, the Mishnah Berurah says that many poskim disagree with this. Avol b'emes meharbe poskim mashma de ein chiluk b'zeh. Most of the poskim he brings down in Sifkot and Tezayin in the Shaar Etzion. This is Rashi, Tosos, the name of Rabbeinu Tam, the Meiri, and this is expanded upon greatly by the Vilna Gaon. So all of these poskim say that you'd be allowed to do this the day of the delivery or any time afterwards. Vafilu le'achar chodesh, even a month later, o shnei chadoshim, or 2 months later, it would still be permissible mutter to straighten out the limbs of the child. And the Mishnah Berurah says, look in the Bir HaGra, where he expands upon this. Shekosav, he says, Shekin gam kein das ha-shulchan aruch la'akil b'zeh kemosam. Even the Shulchan Aruch himself, opinion is that this is allowed. V'yal kein ein la'achmer b'zeh, and therefore one should not be machmer and only permit this like the Mogen Avram did, only on the day of birth. Nevertheless, the Mishnah Berurah says, Mikom mokom, in nisparko, chulya shel shedra mimkoma. If one of the vertebral bodies somehow became dislocated, became out of joint in its place, everybody agrees that you wouldn't be allowed to go and straighten out the spine in this situation. To be honest, I'm not sure exactly what type of manipulation they're talking about over here. We don't really find that when you have a dislocation over here that they're so far apart that a manual manipulation would really make a significant reconstruction over here of the spine, but whatever they're talking about would not be allowed if it was a very significant reconstruction, so to say, manipulation, putting it all back in the right order. The issue footnote number 34 brings down what happens if this person has like a dislocated finger, his jams his finger, and many people will then pull the joint out to straighten out the finger and remove the pain. So the Eshel Avram Mibachach brings down that that is permissible, because he says this is not similar to our case over here, that's not really binyan in this situation, and he says even Midas Chasidus not to do this isn't required, and a person is allowed to do this. Now, the reason why you're not allowed to do this with the spine, the Mishnah Berurah tells us, he continues, demechsei kabona, because as I mentioned earlier, it looks like you're constructing something over here, you're building something over here, you're so to say building the spine over here. However, the Mishnah Berurah says, even this is permitted on the day of birth. It's only forbidden, imlo b'yom haleida, if it's not the day of birth, you're not allowed to do this with the spine. But even the spine on the day of birth, the oz yesh letzadi lahokil af bezeh, then one will be allowed to manipulate the spine to put it back in its right alignment on the day of birth. The issue footnote number 35 brings down, what about using a retainer to straighten your teeth or keep your teeth in a certain position, which we've discussed previously as well. So he brings down from Shlomo Zalman Zatzal, She'ein ze dome le'yishuv chulyos ha'shedra. This is different than straightening out the spine. The straightening out of the spine is not allowed, because that's recognizable that you're doing this for purposes of improving the spine's posture and position. As opposed to, when you put in this retainer in your teeth, it's not really doing anything recognizable right now. Rosh Shlomo Zalman Zatzal also adds, Sha'af ein ledamos palta lemasha osra Mishnah Berurah lahalan. You can't compare a retainer to that which the Mishnah Berurah is going to tell us momentarily is osra, and that is to swaddle a child when it's not the normal way to do so. Because in that situation, you're doing multiple activities over and over again, as opposed to retainer, which you just put into your mouth, and it works, so to say, by itself. He brings down another kula as well, and that there's no way to straighten your teeth using any sort of a sam, any sort of a medication, and therefore, there is no gzeir over here of shchikas samamonim, no isser of refuah on Shabbos. He does bring down from Nissan Karlitz Shlita that there is a potential problem with Ovdu the Chol, that you're doing a weekday activity over here, but if there's a significant amount of pain, then that is permissible as well. Sifyud, the Mechaber writes, Mutur lekarcho b'vigodav. You're allowed to go and swaddle the baby, wrap the child up in various types of garments, shalois akmoivarv, to keep the limbs from getting bent, to keep the limbs straight in a certain position and posture. Mishnah Berurah explains in Sifkot Lamed Hei that this is based upon the Rosh in Perek Yud Zayin, whose mashma da'afilu lekarcho kidei liyasherivarv gamkin sharliolam. That even if your intention is to go straighten out the limbs over here to keep them from getting in a bent position, one would be permitted to do this over here. Why? Vatam begvar. The reasoning brought down in the Gemara is mishum da'orche tamid b'hachi, because this is the normal way we swaddle children so that they'll sleep better sometimes. V'lo hevi kimisaki, and it doesn't therefore look like you're going and improving the child, fixing the child in some way over here. Mashma, however, it's mashma from this reasoning, the mhoyotinok she'ein karchen oso b'chol, if it would be a situation where you wouldn't swaddle the child in this way on a weekday, then it's akmoivor, and now something got bent in its limbs and you need to swaddle it on Shabbos or wrap it in some way on Shabbos, then it would be also lekarcho b'Shabbos. It would be actually forbidden to do this on Shabbos. Again, I must point out, whenever you're dealing over here with a significant risk to the child, the pikuach nefashos, then of course everything is permissible. And again, if you're going to have a significant amount of pain or discomfort later in life, so we'll see in Dirshu footnote number 36, which we're going to do right now, that it is permitted to, in fact, do these things now to prevent future significant pain. Now, let's look at Dirshu footnote number 36 at the beginning. And he brings down, what about putting various types of metal braces? Often they were very commonly done to correct various lower extremity abnormalities. So they would put these braces and they would attach them to the shoes. So Rav Nissen Karlitz Shlita says, She'ein b'kach mishum refu b'Shabbos. Number one, there's no problem of the refu on Shabbos because these don't work really right away. They just change the way that you walk and will only have their benefit over an extended period of time. Likewise, putting on various sorts of braces to make sure that the child walks in a certain way. So Rav Nissen Karlitz Shlita brings down, She'ein derech lasuzos ayidei samanim. Like we brought down before, there's no medication that would take the place of this, and therefore there's no gzer over here that you'll come to go and grind some sort of a herb or a spice or a medication on Shabbos, and therefore there's no concern of refu over here. Likewise, he says there's no concern of uvdin dechol, kiven shenechshav mokum tsar, mishum she'osid kashi yigadil leilech b'tzurish. In a yeshara, welcome to Salo Gozri. He says the rabbis never instituted over here. This child's limbs get bent, and the child will have difficulty and pain in walking later on in life. So they would never gozer right now to prevent you from doing this. And he further adds that since it's not really going to cause any immediate change in the way the bones are, so it's not considered uvdin d'chol as well. And he concludes, "Mutar lasos kein af shelo b'mokum tsar," and therefore you're allowed to do this, even if there isn't going to be pain or there isn't pain right now, one is permitted to do these various types of procedures. Finally, the Chafetz Chaim in Bir Halacha Dibra Maskul Shelo Yisakmu brings down a machlokus over here. He says, the Bach says that when you're talking about straightening out the spine over here, you're not even allowed to do this even without doing it with your hands, but even doing it with some sort of swaddling or wrapping with clothing, as opposed to the Meiri, who says that if you're not doing it with your hands, but you're doing it with some sort of a swaddling with clothing, so then it would be permitted. Now we conclude this beautiful siman with Sif Yud Aleph. The Mechaber writes, Im Noflo Orlas Geron Havlad. Now, this is something, again, I'm not sure of the actual medical circumstances over here. This doesn't seem to be a common issue nowadays with our babies. It's somehow, if your epiglottis, which is a piece of tissue that's covering up the trachea, the windpipe, and prevents inappropriate things from going down that, but opens up to allow air to go down that to get oxygen to the lungs. In any event, if somehow this is not properly positioned in the child, mutulosum etzba lasoch piv, you'd be allowed to insert your finger into the baby's mouth, ulasale ka'orlo limkoma, and place this epiglottis into its right place over here. Afalpi, even though as a result of you sticking your finger down the back of the baby's throat, shepa'om shemeki, it's going to cause the baby to vomit, to throw up. The Mishnah Berurah in Sif Katan Lamed Vav explains why this is not a concern, why we're allowed to do this. He says, "V'lo gazrinan b'zeh mishum refuah." There is no refuah aspect over here. Normally, if you want to go and make a person throw up, you stick your hand down to the back of their mouth. So that would be like an emetic that you're taking, and there should be a gzeirah of refuah. But here, there isn't. Why not? The orche the tinok lipol or less lishono v'lo merzik refuah, because this is apparently a very common problem that their children had, and they would adjust somehow the back of the throat, the epiglottis over here, and therefore, it's not considered like refuah. Tisha footnote number 37 brings down the apple pisha kosa bichidushim hamiyuchosim l'ran, even though the chidushim that are attributed to the Ran states kshaosim kach latinok al pirov umekidam, that most of the time when you do this, the child will not only throw up, but he'll throw up blood. Therefore, that would be a psik resha of causing blood to be expelled from the body, which is an issa daraisa. Nevertheless, the Shevet Alevi's Atzal Ravozna writes, Shebetinok katan nechshav hadovor kisofi pikuach nefesh, that this is considered a potentially life-threatening condition over here, and therefore they permitted one to do this, even though it will be a psik resha that blood will come up. Alternatively, he adds, there's another reason that you're allowed to do this over here, because it's not really a psik resha. Shein's avadai shiotzia tinok dam, it's not a guarantee that blood will be thrown up, it's only a majority. And a majority of the times, that's not enough to make it a psik resha daraisa. Psik resha means it literally has to occur every time to be a psik resha daraisa. And another reason, he says, as well, is because you have absolutely no benefit or need for this blood, and therefore it's considered a psik resha delo nichole, that you don't want to happen. So even if it is a psik resha, there are a lot of different reasons why we can be makel to allow this over here. With this, we conclude Simon Shin Lamed and today's shir.